Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning? Here we are again. Corinth continues. It's a was a long stay. Paul was in Corinth for like a year and a half total, and got a little incident coming up, and we'll finish off Corinth today. Start with prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all your faithfulness to us. We know you have all things in your control, and that you are keeping control over the situation here in the U.S., and that we look forward to serving you until our time here on earth is done and you bring us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thinking a little bit about all the things happening, and a lot of things are coming to mind right now as to how close we really are to the Lord's return. But today we're talking about Paul, back in about 50 AD, and let's continue on in Acts. Acts 18, verse 7. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus. Now, a little review from yesterday. What just happened is that Silas and Timothy just arrived from Macedonia finally, and Paul was speaking in the synagogue. They brought great news, and Paul got pretty excited. So he got really excited and was proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that well, again, the Jews weren't crazy about hearing that they still weren't convinced that Jesus was their Messiah. Some were, some weren't. As we've seen pretty much through Paul's entire existence, he seems to fight against some Jews. Some believe, some don't. And so what just happened is that there was an the synagogue, and he was kind of thrown out of the synagogue. And so, right next door, this man named Justus lived, and this is where we are now. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue, meaning it was right next door, might have been attached to it, not sure. And verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and keep this man's believed on the Lord and with all his house, and many of the Christians hearing believed and were baptized. And this is quite a thing, is that I'm sure the Jews were feeling pretty upset that their even their leader believed what Paul was saying. And so as we'll see here in a little bit, he basically gets thrown out too. Kind of reminds me of Paul's conversion, you know. This man is now out of work. He was the leader of the synagogue. He's not no longer. And most likely those who did believe followed him out of the synagogue also. So Justus being next door, and it's assumed that he had a place, the home church, of course, we've seen down through history here, that was quite predominant as a place for people to gather. And so it looks like they all went next door because he doesn't move in with Justus. It's just Justus provides a place for them to go and he can continue his teaching, is what most of the commentaries believe. Because he was still working with Aquila and Priscilla, as we'll see. There's still no issues there. Now, on to Crispus, kind of interesting, is that, like I said, he was basically out of work also. And we know that he definitely was a believer because Paul makes reference to him in Corinthians. Let's just read that verse. It's Corinthians 1:14. And he makes mention that Crispus again. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. So even though Paul typically didn't do much baptizing, he was more the he left that for others. He did do Crispus, and so make note of that in Corinthians. I'm trying to remember why. Oh, okay. Another reference in 1 Corinthians, which is a letter that Paul wrote later, of course, to the Corinthians. And so I found it interesting. I just wanted to mention talking about the fact that the Jews and the Greeks, how some believed, some didn't. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians 1, 23 through 27. I'll just read it. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. I like where this verse kind of heads, is it? That some people may call us foolish and broad beliefs, but that God knows all about it, and He calls vision. And here in 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So we should be really honored. And he finishes off in verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. I think those are great verses to remember, that don't ever think that you're any less of a person. But God has called you, and then He has a place for you, and He's going to help you all the way. So you may think that you may not be capable of doing something, but through God, everything is capable. And He uses us too. Some people might say, that you're this or that, and that you're not like a. As we'll see here in a bit, some other verses are interesting. What Paul talks about the fact that he wasn't a great orator. And that his ability to speak in front of people was not really his thing, but through God, all things were possible. And I love that verse. I try to keep that one in mind myself. So I'm back to Acts 18, verse 9. And here we have a vision that Paul got. I think that Paul was probably feeling, with all this strife and persecution by his fellow Jews, I think it was really starting to get to him. So Jesus steps in and gives him a vision. I think it's more of a comfort vision, but also to keep going. So in 18:9, we see the Lord speaking. Then spake the Lord to Paul in a night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. I think that maybe the Lord knew that Paul was ready to just leave town again and take off. And the Lord wanted to give him some comfort that, no, I need you to stay here for a while. Your work's not done here. And I think that was probably pretty comforting to him at the time. As we're going to see here coming up shortly, there's going to be an incident that I'm sure Paul was real nervous until the proctor stepped in and took care of the situation. Let's move on to that. Starts in Acts 18:12. We're going to meet a man by the name of Galileo. I thought of the famous explorer from history, but not the same person. This man was a proctor from Rome, pretty high official. He was like a judge. And would sit in court over any proceedings, any legal things happening with the Romans. He was a Roman. He wasn't a believer yet. So what we're going to see here is that the Jews again, this time they're going to try a legal battle. And when I'll just read here in verse 12, and when Galileo was the deputy of Archaea, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. This is what I mentioned yesterday. I showed you that picture of the Burma seat. That's pretty much where trials were held. And continuing on, verse 13 here, saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And I like what Galileo comes back and says here in 14. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Galileo said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. In other words, you would agree with him. We've had something to do that was against Jewish Roman law. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, let ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. Galileo is still speaking here in 16, and he drove them from the judgment seat. So basically, he says he dismissed the case. And I think the beauty of this, and I read a few commentaries on this, that the thing that you're going to see next is why the Jews are so upset is because this became what we know as a precedent. Because it had been a regular trial, and a judge had proclaimed that the fact that Paul was teaching this doctrine was not against Roman law. So that became a precedent. So it more or less made it a lot more difficult for the Jews later on to be able to at least bring him to court over this matter. Now, I know we're going to go on and we're going to see him actually, some other things are going to happen where Paul ends up in prison and jail and stuff. At least for the moment, or at least here in Corinth area, he's got pretty much free will. Because now he's got a precedent on his side. So here in verse 17, the Jews get pretty upset. And this is, remember, I talked about Crispus, who was the chief ruler of the synagogue. Well, we see he was replaced here in verse 17. Then all the Greeks took Sallusus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Galileo cared for none of those things. So in other words, which is an interesting thing, is that most of the commentators are saying that basically the Jews beat up their own ruler for bringing this to the attention of the legal authorities, and thus setting this precedent. And that was a general drift why they were upset and beat Sallusus, which was the new chief ruler of the synagogue. And so Crispus, we know, ended up being put off the seat, and then Sallusus was called in to be, and he's the one that brought it before the judgment seat, is what most believe. What's interesting, though, is that in 1 Corinthians 1:1, we hear this name again, and Paul calls him a brother. It looks like even Sallusus became a believer after this incident. Here in Corinthians 1:1, I'll read it. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, the will of God, and Sallusus' brother. So here he gives a hint that Sallusus also became a believer. And so the Jews are not having a really good day. At least the traditional Jews, I should say, because Paul's a Jew too. So back to Acts. So in Acts 18:18, after, so based on the vision and what happened here, Paul is pretty much free to continue his ministry. So here in 18 it says, and Paul after this tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shown his hand in Crea, for he had a vow. And that last part of that verse kind of got me curious. I was wondering what it was, and I just did a little quick research on it. Basically, Paul's getting ready to leave, and Priscilla and Aquila is going to go with him. Doesn't say anything about Paul and about Silas and Timothy. Not sure where they're at right at the moment. I got to try to figure that out. But they're heading off, and Cenchreae is actually on the seacoast. It's a town, and that's where he's probably going to get on board ship. Ephesus is across the sea from here, so it's probably easier to go by boat than by land. I'll show you a picture here in a minute. And but it says he shaved, shorn is the same as saying shaved his head. And did a little research on this, for he had a vow. And during that time frame, it was a Jewish tradition to shave your head and to take a vow of a couple of things would happen. It was a way of showing that you were, well, it was typical to what we've seen in the Old Testament, a Nazarite vow. And basically the way it worked was you would do it for gratitude or a special blessing. And that a commitment to God, and usually lasted about 30 days. So Paul did this, and the way it went was, he's ultimately heading towards Jerusalem, see this in the rest of chapter 18. So he shaved his head at this point, and for he had a vow, and most believe this because he had such great success in Corinth that he was very pleased, that he wanted to show his gratitude to the Lord. And so he shaved his head. And another thing they didn't do during this time is that they take a vow that during a vow they would not eat any meat and or drink any wine. So I was not having anything really of the better things. They would stay somewhat humbled. And that for the next 30 days, he wouldn't shave his head or cut his beard. And then when they got to the temple, they would actually cut it all off again and actually burn it in the temple as a symbolic to showing that how grateful you were for the things that had happened in your life. So that was something that I found kind of interesting. Thought I'd add to it. And so that's all I have for today. We're heading to Ephesus next. So we'll pick up there. And interesting place too, Ephesus, of course, we all hear that. The book of Ephesians was written based on Ephesus. And it's also mentioned by Jesus in Revelation. I'll touch base on that a little bit too. So let me see what I got. Didn't have any additional pictures, I guess. I found a map. Better map to show you. We can review the pictures. I guess this was that town square in Corinth, as it looks today. And of course, that's what it looked like back then. A little bit better display of it, of what the town probably looked like. This is that Burma seat I mentioned before. So this is where all this today's activity took place. No, I thought I saved the picture. I don't know where the picture went. There it is. And you can see that we're in Corinth now. And he's going to be heading to Ephesus. He's going to basically take a ship across the Aegean Sea over to Ephesus. And then he's going to head back to Jerusalem after that point. But look at that. Tomorrow. So, I don't think I had any other pictures. Oh, yeah, another better picture of where Corinth is and where that Cinctura is right there on the water where he's going to grab the ship. I guess I'll leave my ship up there next, because that's where we're going to be getting next. And we'll end with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word and for the things we're learning as we go through the travels, the journeys of Paul. And thank you so much. I have learned so much, and I want to thank you. And to make note, too, of the nice message you gave us last night about Philemon. That was a great little study we did. Enjoyed that also. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for everything you do. Give us safe travels today and everything we do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So I'll talk to you all tomorrow. Have a great day.